We greet you in Christ's name this morning. I sitting there watching and listening a little bit, and you folks standing and sitting, you ought to be glad you can still do that. My old knees, they're kind of weak, and it would have really been a chore for me to stand up and sit down every time I was supposed to, so I just sat there. Well, when you get almost 78 years old, you know, you seem kind of ancient to some of these younger ones. And this morning, I want to share a message with you, and my text comes from the Old Testament. Now, over the years, those who have known me for the last 50-some years, most of my texts that I have taken to preach have been out of the New Testament. I'm basically a New Testament preacher, but once in a while, I do go back in the Old Testament for a text. And the text this morning is taken from Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 22, and it's verse 30, where it says this way, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." I want to look at this a little bit this morning, and I want this message to be a challenge to you, perhaps especially to you as fathers and dads as we go through this. Now, if we look at the history of the children of Israel at this point, we find that the spiritual level of the children of Israel was at maybe an all-time low. There are other scriptures that I could refer to. I just want to look at a few. In chapter 13 of Ezekiel, it says this way, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear the word of the Lord." Now I want you to notice here that the prophets were prophesying out of their own hearts. "Thus saith the Lord God, Woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the deserts. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge of the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord." There he talks about the hedge, and he talks about the gaps that are in the hedge. He says, "They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, The Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them, and they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Have ye not seen a vain vision? Have ye not spoken a lying divination? Whereas ye say, The Lord saith it, albeit I have not spoken." And so he has that. And then over in the book of Jeremiah, we also have a couple of verses that give us a little bit the idea of what the situation was spiritually in the land of Israel. In Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 30 and 31, he says, "A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so, and what will you do in the end thereof?" Now, this was a deplorable condition, and we could go on and pull out more scriptures that show us how the children of Israel had left the commandments of God and followed after false gods, and yet they were prophesying, they were saying they had a pretense of serving God when they were really not serving God. And so God comes to the point that he was searching for a man that would stand, that would build up the hedges and stand in the gaps. He looked for it in the land of Israel, but he could find none. Now that was a deplorable situation. And I like to look at some parallels that of our day and age. When we look at modern day Christianity, where is modern day Christianity? I think modern-day Christianity is just about at the point that the children of Israel were, because of everything that is being said and done in modern-day Christian circles, so-called Christian circles, let's say it that way, where we have situations such as homosexuality being accepted, same-sex marriage, you have all of this, And there's really no real clean living for God anymore in many so-called Christian circles. There's just about the same thing. And so we all realize that today there are many who are prophesying in their own name. They're using human reasoning and then declaring it that this was the leading of the Holy Spirit. To me, I think that comes very close to blaspheming the Holy Spirit when you say the Holy Spirit has shown me this, when it's nothing more but your own simple human reasoning and it doesn't line up with the Word of God at all. In order for it to be the Holy Spirit, it must line up with the Scriptures which the Holy Spirit moved men of old to write. It cannot be contrary to that. Now, modern Christianity is relying on and promoting ideas and thinking that actually distorts the Word of God and the purity of the Word of God, and it's calling it the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, as I look at this, what is a hedge? And I want this message to be an encouragement to you this morning. What is a hedge? A hedge is a fence. A hedge is a fold or an encampment. Christ referred to it this way, the sheepfold. That's what we mean about a hedge. It is a place encircled by a fence or a hedge. Now, what is the purpose of this? And if a fold or an encampment where you have a hedge around it, what's the purpose of the hedge? The purpose of the hedge is not to keep you in. That's a benefit. The purpose of the hedge is to keep evil out. That's the way it was with God. The purpose of the hedge is to keep evil out. The purpose of the hedge is to make a safe place, a place of security, a place of peace. Now, to stop and think about, in the world in which we live, how much security do you find out there in the world? How many safe places would you call a place of safety and security and peace that are surrounding us? They're hard to find. They're hard to find. And yet, I believe that as we serve God, we can find a place. It says Satan accused God of putting a hedge around Job. We can find a place that a hedge is actually, we would say, built around and protect us. And so the purpose of the hedge is for protection and to create a barrier between you and what's on the outside. And the advantage of it is, the benefit is, it helps keep us in as well. Also, the purpose of the hedge, like I mentioned, is to keep out evil and sin. The purpose of the hedge is too also to create an environment, and I want you as men to think about this, especially, and you women, you ladies, as you support your man in this, when you think about the home, to make that home, place a hedge around your home to make it a safe place, to create an environment, and the church should do the same thing. To create an environment in which to instill and to develop and to cultivate, to teach and train spiritual and moral values. A safe place to do that. And you know, we cannot step outside of the church here in many places outside of our home and find this for our children. We have to do that ourselves for our children and our people. We have to band together and work together on this to create a place, have a hedge up, as we would say. And many people don't like fences and hedges, but you need them. And to create an environment in which to train and teach and to instill and develop and cultivate spiritual and moral values. And to make a productive person in the kingdom of God. Now, we all need hedges about us. The family needs hedges. The church needs hedges. I need a hedge. I know I'm 78 years old almost, but I still need a hedge around me. Why do I need that? Because of all the evil that's around us. And let me tell you something, folks. You think all the temptation and trials is gone by the time you get 75 years old? I got news for you. Got news for you. They're not. Is that right, Emmanuel? Is that right? They're still there. They'll be with us till the day that we leave this world and we're out of this old sinful world. And so as we look at this, we all need hedges about us. Satan is busy. He will try to destroy the hedges and come in. Hedges are not always appreciated. And I go back to my younger years when I was a teenager. The Lord only knows what I would have been involved in and got troubles I'd have got into if it wouldn't have been for the hedge that my parents had around me. I needed that. Did I always appreciate the hedge that Dad and Mom had placed around me? No, I didn't. Because there were other children right in our church setting, under young people, that were sneaking around doing things they weren't supposed to do, and they were getting by with it. Well, Joe Hershberger knew that being and raising Jake Hershberger's family, if Dad found out that I snuck around and things like that, there were severe consequences to be taken care of and paid for. It was as Dad was standing there, and he did it in love with a paddle in his hand. You know, he was guarding the gap, is what he was doing. When there was a gap there, a gap is a hole in the wall. And he was standing there guarding that. Why? Because he had placed a hedge around his family for the security and the safety and the moral values of his family to instill that into his children. And God only knows what my father spared me from, because I don't know, but only God knows what all he spared me from by the hedge that my parents had placed around me, and that I desperately needed that hedge as a young man growing up. Now, we ask the question, what makes up a hedge? What makes up a hedge? It's important to how we build that hedge or that fence around our family. And you young fellows sitting, you listen, your day's coming too. You know, you're not there yet, some of you. It's coming, the Lord tarries. And let me say this. You don't appreciate some of these things that I'm sharing this morning until you have responsibility for somebody else. You have responsibility. I see young fathers sitting here with children on their lap. I heard some things in Sunday school this morning that I know that 5 years ago, 10 years ago, some of you sitting up here this morning and said the things you did wouldn't have said them then. Why? Because you didn't face responsibility. But that added responsibility. Now, you're responsible for that little fellow on your lap, that little son or daughter. You are responsible. And so now some action has to be taken. So the values that your parents tried to teach you, those fences they had around you, that hedge that you didn't appreciate, now today you're starting to appreciate what Mom and Dad had set around you, and you want that for your children too, because you realize that those things were of great value to you. What makes up a hedge? I like to look at it this way. The commands of Jesus make up a hedge. I'll say it like this. Christ's commands. What are some of his commands? For instance, love not the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So you have to make up your mind that you can't love the world and love God at the same time. You can't. It's just that simple. And so a hedge, love not the world. Don't be so concerned about what's happening in the world. Be more concerned about what's happening right in your own little home and in your brotherhood. And he also says, be not conformed to the world. The world is going down. You don't want to fit in that mold that's going to take you away from God. And then he says, come out from among them and be ye separate. If you're going to have a hedge around your family, around your home, you're going to have to be different than the world in which you're living. That's the long and the short of it. You cannot have the same goals. You cannot have the same put your children in the same environments and all these things and let them run with the crowd. No, you're going to have to do some separating there in order to instill moral values and also instill in them proper concept of God's Word. Let me just say this. My father was involved in mission work. He was down in Central America. I don't know what his beliefs or where he was, but I heard him tell this story. There was a young girl there, and this happened probably, it must have been 40 years ago or so. Let's see, Dad's been gone since 1965, so it happened before that. There was a young girl, teenage girl, that responded during revival meetings. She came from the world in which she lived. She had been in immorality, involved in immorality, and when they were counseling her, she come from an environment that she had absolutely no idea that this immoral involvement that she had was wrong. Had no idea, no concept of it, that this was wrong. And so that's what's out there in the world. And so we separate ourselves from some of these things and teach different. Some other things here. Abstain from all appearance of evil. That's important. Another one from the Word of God is love your enemies. Love God. Operate your home and your environment there, the hedge of honesty and integrity. Be honest and integrity. Make right use of things. We have a lot of things today in our world in which we live that we can misuse if we're not careful. We need to make principles, to application of the principles of God's Word, to make them alive for our family. And we could go on and a lot of these things, but we need guidelines, a bit of discipline for our own protection, even in the brotherhood authority. Now many chaff, some may chaff under the authority of the church, some may chaff under the authority of parents. They don't see, they don't appreciate, I don't understand. And I can understand that, why people don't understand sometimes. Sometimes people don't want to understand. We do not see sometimes the values and guidelines, but the need, I want to say again, we need the hedge for our protection. Now, got my notes mixed up here a little bit. Now we want to talk about gaps. What is a gap? A gap is a hole or a breach in the wall. A gap will let in that which is evil. It will let in negative influence. And I want to say this. You're not sitting here this morning as people who have no gaps that don't need attention. You're human, aren't we? We're human. Okay. We all have needs. We all have some gaps that we need to be careful about and take care of. And I want to mention a few of those. A gap will leave in negative influence. A gap or a breach in the wall normally starts in a small way. And you know, the big breaches, something, an explosion happens immediately. We jump on this and want to take care of it. What happens when you just have a small something? We say, well, it kind of insignificant happens. We just want to have a tendency to let it ride. But small gaps, not taken care of, eventually turn into big gaps, big breaches. And then you've got a mess on your hands when you try to take care of it. We're back here. If you'd have taken care of it in your family, in the church, and so forth, it would have been much easier to take care of it. It wouldn't have caused all the commotion that it did when you let it go and let it go. And they're ignored because they're small. And people's attitude is such a little thing. Why bother? We ought to be more concerned about going out and spreading the gospel and evangelism than taking care of these little stuff in the church. Well, what happens? And I've seen it happen in my lifetime. I've seen these little things ignored. And you say your emphasis is more on evangelism and forget these things. Well, what happens? You end up losing your witness because you didn't take care of the little things. The little things got into big things, and it ate away at your witness. Now, both of them are important to take care of. They need to be taken care of. Gaps take our focus away from God. Some of these gaps, we get focused on them, they take them away from our God. Now, what are some of the common gaps that we have in Christianity today? And I'm going to mention a few of them. And one of the first ones I'm going to mention, and you say, well, do you have to say that one? That's the sports gap. You fellows like sports? I do too. Are sports wrong? Not in themselves. What makes sports wrong? What creates a gap? Over-involvement, and they start to take first place in your life. And when anything takes the place of God in your life, when God isn't first anymore, you've got a problem. It's a gap, it's a hole in the hedge. And so there are a lot of these things that we have to be careful Really, we can be involved in some of these things, I think, and God can smile at that. But when these things start to take first place in our life, and we put them ahead of God, it's a gap that needs to be taken care of, because it undermines you spiritually. Now, what about riches? I remember the time when I was a young man, I had my goal set, someday I'm going to be a millionaire. I've forgotten that one a long time ago, because I soon saw. In fact, I was ordained when I was barely 25 years old. I took my commitment serious, and I refused to let myself get too deeply involved in material things because I felt it would hinder the ministry that I have. But you know, God has blessed us. I'm not a millionaire today. No, pretty far from it. Are my needs met? Yes. Has God been good to us? Yes, He's been good to us. But our focus needs to be on serving God and not these riches. And this is where a lot of dads fall down. They want to accumulate everything they can and they ignore the children. The children have to grow up and dad doesn't take care of them. It's like the story I've told before. Boy came into his dad's office one day. His dad was a very successful businessman. He wanted to talk to dad. And dad said, "Here, son, take this money." He said, "Go downtown, go to a movie or something." He said, "Have a good time." The boy took that money. He bought it up and he threw it back at his dad. He said, "Dad, I don't want your money. I want your time." And that's what happens. And you raise children who are disgusted at you because of your emphasis on the almighty dollar. No, it's not almighty. Let's say it this way. In the days we're living in, the disappearing dollar. That make more sense? The disappearing dollar. And so be careful there. We need the monies to get along. Then you have the prestige gap. People do things for prestige. We have the power gap. Oh, we don't have any power gaps, do we? Sad to say, there are too many churches that have power gaps. There's power struggles within churches sometimes. Then we have the disobedience gap. We just simply disobey. We have the bad attitude gap. That's a bad one in our relations. Poor interpersonal relationships. That's a bad gap. A lack of interest and keeping up with the Jones. A lack of respect. Doing my own thing. Ain't worried about nobody else, just do my own thing. And we could go on. And there's a number of these things that do bother us. And we have to keep our eyes open and we really need to face them. Now here's one that you're going to say again, "Well, Joe, did you have to mention that one?" Yes, I do have to mention that one. And I think it's one of the biggest threats that faces the church today, and that is the technology gap. Technology. You know, I remember the time, and I grew up in a setting, for we weren't allowed to have radios. Well, I know what we did. We knew pretty much what kind of the latest songs were on the radio. We knew that. You see, we had a gap there. Well, now what happened? Now we have the radio. Okay, and then along comes TV. And we grew up. No TV, none whatsoever. Well, along comes technology, and today you can get anything on your computer that you can get on TV and even more. Amen. Through the internet. You can get it there. And so when I look at the technology gap, the thing of technology, and what's scary to me is this. People don't know what's happening and what it's doing to them. Just recently, in one of the news magazines that I get, it was either Newsweek or, I think it was Newsweek, had an article that there are people, scientists, doctors, people in the places that you don't know about some of these things that are getting very concerned about Facebook and texting and these things. They talk about the addiction and what they're discovering. They used to say, "Oh no, this doesn't affect people in a negative way." What they're discovering is people who are addicted to texting, to Facebook, to the internet, people who are addicted, when they do brain scans on them, guess what? The brain scans show the same scans that an alcoholic shows, a drug addict shows. They're discovering that. And they're discovering that this has a very negative effect on the brain. Now, I want to ask you a question. I don't want anybody to raise your hand. How hooked are you on technology? Is there anybody here that before you get out of bed in the morning, you pick up your cell phone to see if you had a text during the night? If you are, you are hooked. That's what this article is saying. How much time do you spend? The other day I saw something, the other evening I saw something, and I just sat and I smiled to myself. I was at a certain place, I observed a young man, and I saw that he came up to where his ball playing equipment was. He walked in from the outfield, he walked up and picks up his cell phone, he scans, looks at it a little bit, and sticks it back in. About 10 minutes later, he did it again. Another 10 minutes, he did it again. He was getting close to hooked. It's a gap. Why? Because it starts to take first place in our life instead of God. And you know, these things come in through very deceptive ways, very slyly. And you don't, the first thing you know, well, this is a good thing. I can keep up with all my friends. And the first thing you know, the friends have first place and God is taking second place. Stop and think about it. It's a hedge, it's a gap in the hedge that we have to be careful. Like I say, some of these things, they're good, they're well, they can use them well. And I'm not a computer person. I don't even know how to run one. I said I've lived all my life without one. I don't really need one. As far as personally, now I have people that help me out on computers sometimes. I go and ask them. And a computer is a very, and internet is a very useful thing if it's used right. But be careful. There's a gap that needs to be guarded there very carefully, or that gap will grow and it will dominate your life. And that's what we look at when these things come in. Anything that dominates your life and takes first place in your life is an idol. And we have to guard against. That's what happened to the children of Israel. They had idols. They worshipped idols. Now, if I have to pick up my phone in the morning before I get out of bed and see if I got a text message, what is it? I'll let you decide. I know what I call it. You decide what you call it. Where's God? Where's God? What do you think of first thing in the morning when you get up? You think about thanking God for the night's rest? Well, I don't always. Usually I do. Sometimes I got some work or something on my mind. I think about that. And we have to be careful. Keep God first. Even our everyday work can take the place of God and be a gap in our life. And so as we look at this, we need to be careful. And I want this message this morning to be an encouragement to you to just take note of what's happening in our day and age and what's happening in our own personal lives and what's in store for the future generation if we're not careful and don't protect ourselves and guard ourselves against some of these things that have come in. Now, I had an experience after I was first ordained. And I don't mind telling you where it was. It was in Conservative Conference. I was ordained as a Conservative Conference minister. I wasn't in the Conservative Conference very long in the ministry, so I saw things that I did not like. In fact, I still have good friends today that I met in Conservative Conference. Some of them are still there, but very few. Most of them have got out. But I objected. Raised my voice, I say objected. I raised my voice in concern. I had a minister several years older, 8, 10 years older, and I came to me afterward. And he let me know in no uncertain terms that I was in the wrong conference. Today, where is Conservative Conference? It's conservative only in name. I mean, the direction it's going. Why did BMA start? Because the direction the conservative conference was going. They were determined that they were not going to maintain the hedges and close the gaps. And you know, there's sad things that happen. I could name you families today who were raised in conservative circles. I'll use that word. In other words, they were raised in circles where their mom and dad had put a fence around them, replaced hedges. The church had hedges around them. They turned their back on these things. And where are they at today? Their children and their grandchildren out in the world. Homosexuality, immoral living, and all this. And I think it traces its back that mom and dad didn't appreciate what they had been taught. They turned their back. They tore down the hedges. There was no separation between the children and the world. There was no barriers left there. And the result is the next generation is lost to the Lord oftentimes. Now, let me say this. God's looking for a man to stand in the gap. Now, I'd want to put a challenge to you, brethren, this morning. Are you willing to be a man to stand in the gap? God is looking for men today to stand in the gap, to maintain the hedges, and to stand in those gaps to keep evil out. You say, well, God can't use me. I'm not educated enough. Or I'm not an intellectual person. Or I don't have enough prestige. Do you know what God is looking for today? He is not looking for an educated man. He's not looking for an intellectual man. He's not looking for prestige or power. He is looking for an ordinary man like you and I to be willing to dedicate their lives to Jesus Christ and dedicate themselves to the objective of standing in the gap and to maintaining hedges and closing those gaps. Can I use an expression that I often say? They use my name in many ways. Just be an ordinary Joe. And I say sometimes, I have the most abused man's name in the English language. I like my name. I do. But just be an ordinary person. That's what God is looking for. Now let me say this. Standing in the gap is not easy. In fact, there are people who I've known and people who are willing to stand in the gap that they're not always appreciated. Because if you have people who are not willing to maintain fences and to close gaps, they're not going to appreciate those who really put their hearts into this. And it's a tough job. I have to think of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a man that God called in the midst of Israel's spiritual bankruptcy. Can I say it that way? The spiritual life was all but gone. Jeremiah was a man that he was willing to stand in the gap, and he stood in the gap, and what happened to him? He was put in a dungeon. You know, God delivered him. God took care of him. But he was a man that was not appreciated in his time and in the day in which he's living, because he was a man who was proclaiming God's word. He was standing there and he wasn't appreciated. Now, does that scare you? Does that scare you? Let me say this. What ought to scare you worse than not being appreciated is the end result of not taking your position as a dad, as a brother in the church, to maintain, build fences, and maintain that fence and close the gap. The end result. The end result, Israel was destroyed. Jeremiah was preserved. And that's what you have to look at. You have to look at the end result. And I know God is looking for men to stand, and men who will speak out against wrong. They will stand for the truth. A man that will not let ridicule or criticism or opposition get him down. And like I say, it's tough, but willing to keep on. God is looking for a man who deeply loves God first, who deeply loves God's people, who have a real heart and concern for the spiritual welfare of God's people. A man who will protect his family against false teaching, protest false teaching. A man willing to spend and be spent. And Dad, you as a father need to have a hedge around your family. And I see that more and more. You know, the world isn't getting better. The world is getting more corrupt. Well, let me say it this way. No, the world may be not getting more corrupt, but professing, people who profess to know God are getting more corrupt. They're not standing for the truth of God's word. And I'd like to say this to you teenagers. You may not always appreciate mom and dad's positions on things. Don't fight them. What they're doing for your good and your spiritual welfare, for your moral welfare. They're doing it for you. And like I said earlier, when you get that little one in your lap, you'll start to see what mom and dad's, what it was all about, that mom and dad were seeking to protect you. Because you will now have a responsibility. And I like to look at this. There are rewards for standing in the gap. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, I have fought a good fight. And that's what standing in the gap is all about. It's about fighting the Christian warfare, fighting the Christian battle. And he says this way, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And here was the reward. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Are you looking forward this morning to that crown of righteousness, which the Lord has laid up for you? Remember, you have to fight a good warfare. Paul, a man who had much opposition, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. And the rewards for this was there was a crown of righteousness laid up for him in heaven. And I like to think of what Peter writes too, where in 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter writes this. And I like to relate this. So also, a reward for standing in the gap. He says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He says, To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to reveal in the last time. And let me just say this. If you're a man that wants to stand in the gap, you cannot do it on your own. No, you need to do it through the power of God. And let the power of God rule in your life, that you might be able to make a place, to have a hedge about your family, a hedge that will keep evil out. The primary purpose is keep evil out. That means it has to be a discipline program in there. Make it a place of safety, a place of security, and a place of peace. And may I just say this, a place of peace that calls for a good relationship between mom and dad. A place of peace. May God bless you. Shall we bow our heads for prayer? Thank you, Father, for the opportunity of being here again this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the challenge which you give us. And Father, we do thank you for examples from your words that we can draw from. And Father, our prayer this morning is that every man here and his companion, and even the young people, may take a challenge from your word to be a man of God, a man willing to stand in the gap, a man willing to mend fences and to make fences, dear Father, for the protection of his family, for the protection of the brotherhood. For Father, we're living in a very evil world, a world that is motivated by Satan, a world, dear Father, that's objective is to tear down our faith and our trust in you. And Father, we know that if we look to you and depend on you and commit ourselves to you, that we can find your power present in our lives to be this kind of a person who will build up and maintain instead of tearing down. So bless this message, dear Father. May it have been an encouragement and a challenge to each one. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.